Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if there were a book on life? How many of us men would really and truly read it, right? People have written material as it pertains to life as they look to maybe success in their life or failures. I'm reminded of Dale Carnegie years ago, who wrote a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. He was a successful businessman, and in that he wrote, at least in part, to encourage individuals as to how they could be successful in the business world, but also as it would pertain to life in general. We look at all kinds of material that is available in the world today on business and on life and financial security. Friends, as I stand before you tonight, I tell you something that I trust that all who is in the presence here at East End really and truly already knows. And that is that God has given us the book that is above all other books. He has given us His Word, the Bible. The Bible is inspired by God, and in His conveyance of His message to mankind, He has delivered unto us His will. He has told us in regard to His eternal will in the creation of mankind. As we look in regard to God's will for man, we see that it is God's will, not that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. And God, in identifying His will for us and His desire, He also defines for us very clearly in and through the New Testament Scripture, particularly in regard to His plan of redemption in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we think about the ins and outs in regard to Christian living, I want us to consider from the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18 tonight, as we think about what it means to live our lives faithful before God. To begin with, God identifies that there is a picture for us to consider. The words of Paul, oftentimes in this context and even beyond, are misrepresented. Oftentimes they are misquoted. As we look to this context, the Scripture identifies to us is that we have a responsibility before God to work out our own salvation. Many people look to that and they think that it's up to them to interpret the Scripture and therefore to work it out according to however they see fit. And yet there are other individuals who look to their life and they say that God in His love will allow us through His grace and loving kindness to work out our own lives, and that He will indeed be satisfied with us where we are. Friends, I want us to understand that the Apostle Paul, by all means, has written some things that are hard to be understood. And when we think in regard to the things that Paul has written that are hard to be understood, we see that unlearned men twist the Scripture. And in twisting the Scripture, they twist it. The Scripture identifies to us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and verse 16, unto their own destruction. It is critical for us, as we look to being pleasing to God and a desire to be able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him, it is important for us to be able to understand the context of the Scripture. It's important for us to understand the background as to everything that was going on during the time in which Paul and others wrote. But friends, also it's important for us to understand the overall context, the immediate and the overall context as to the message that God has conveyed unto mankind. Why must we understand context? Because God expects each and every one of us to be on the same page. We must teach the same things. Why? Paul taught the same thing in every congregation that he went into, every city and such. And you and I are responsible before God to make certain that our teachings, that the gospel message that we proclaim, that the doctrine that we adhere to, that these things are rooted and grounded in Scripture. We have a huge responsibility before God to make certain that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Friends, from this context, I want us to see what Paul has revealed. In this context, Paul has presented Jesus Christ as the greatest example. We read his words as he presents it in the early context here, and we believe it, but yet at the same time, how do you and I follow Jesus Christ as the greatest example to mankind? What God is conveying unto us is that as Christians, our life must focus upon being Christ-like. In this, what is it that God is calling us to do? He is setting forth the divine example in regard to submission. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, is that beautiful example. And as a result of that, then, God expects us to conform to the very image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. There is that picture that we must consider in regard to Jesus. But friends, also the Bible identifies to us is that there is a purpose that God expects us to achieve as we go throughout the course of our life here in this world. Paul is writing to people who were already New Testament Christians. And therefore, the idea or the school of thought that is presented by most in the religious world that says that it's up to us to work out our own salvation and that God will receive us, it doesn't fit the context. Why? Again, Paul calls these individuals saints. They were members of the body of Christ. They had faith in God, and they had exercised or demonstrated their faith in God by submitting themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. As we consider the in-depth consideration of the context, the verb work out literally signifies to work out with full completion. Well, what does that mean? It means that as Christians, you and I have a responsibility and also, I might add, a privilege to have a greater knowledge of God. And therefore, God expects us to continue to work as Christians to gain that knowledge while He has made it ready and available for us. Through His inspired message, He still expects us to understand that we have a huge role to play in acquiring that knowledge and in understanding His Scripture. And as a result of that too, as we think about working to full completion, God also understands that whenever we obey Christ in baptism, our love, our adoration for God, oftentimes is at an elementary level. And therefore, friends, God commands you and me to continue to grow, that our love for Him might abound. And not only then does God want us to work out our own salvation to completion when it comes to our knowledge and our love for Him, but also then as it would deal with our service to Him. We are called to be servants in the kingdom, to be Christ-like in all things. And Jesus our Lord serves as a beautiful example of what it really and truly means to be a servant of God. And friends, you and I are challenged to not only claim to be Christ-like, but to be Christ-like in the example that He gives us about what it means to be a servant. We are to exercise servitude in our lives. But I also want us to think about working out our own salvation to full completion in the broader context. God identifies to us is that it's only those individuals who remain faithful until death that they will be able to be recipients of His eternal reward. And therefore, we keep on working on our lives. We keep on working in our faith until we have passed from this life into the eternal realm. And God identifies through the words of the Apostle Paul here in this context and through the other passages in the New Testament Scripture and even some in the Old that our faith is challenged by all sorts of ungodliness. We live in a world today where the unbelievers, the agnostics and the atheists, they challenge us and they taunt and they tease us about our belief in God. And why do they do that? I think that in part we need to consider is that these individuals really and truly, they don't have any respect for us. So it's out of a disrespect that they would speak to us on that level. But they want us to be where they are, and that is without any hope beyond this life. We get that from the unbelievers, and we also then from so-called believers. And I want to emphasize what I'm stating here. So-called believers are those individuals who are a part of the denominational world. They believe, but still at the same time, you and I, as members of the Lord's church, as those who read and study the Scripture, to make certain that what we do, that it is found in the Bible. And we stand where the Bible speaks, and we only speak in those realms. Because of that, the so-called believers in the religious world, they also pick at us. And those things can challenge our faith. But friends, also from time to time, and this to me is the saddest of all, we have members of the body of Christ, our own brothers and sisters in Christ, who will pick at us. And as a result of that, then the devil is working even through those individuals to pull our faith down to lower levels and even to pull us away from God. We live in the world, but we must work in order to be different in this world. That takes a lot of thought, doesn't it? It means that we've constantly got to be thinking about our lives. Not only does it take a lot of thought, friends, it also takes a desire. We must desire to be different than the people who are in the world. And it takes also a lot of effort. We've got to continually keep working on our lives that we might glorify God each and every moment of our life here. There is indeed a purpose to achieve, and as Christians, as we think about the ins and outs of living the Christian life, we need to be focusing upon achieving that purpose that God has laid before us. But also, through the words of the Apostle Paul, we identify in this context that there is a power to receive God. In order for Him to work through us, friends, He must first work in us. That within itself is a mouthful, isn't it? As we think about God working through us, we've identified that we are called to be servants of God. We must be evangelistic minded and constantly reaching out to the lost and dying world. But not only do we have a responsibility to the lost world, we also have a huge responsibility to one another. And in order for us to accomplish these things to the glory of God's name, to allow God to work through us in that manner, we first must allow God to work in us individually. In order for our lives to be in line, in order for us then to be able to have the influence upon others, you and I must do all that we can to allow God to be a very vital part of our lives, the nucleus or the center of all that we exist as here in this world. How does God seek to work in us and also through us? Friends, the Bible serves as God's power unto salvation. We realize that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In the context there of the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, that is surgical language. God's Word is able to operate upon us to convict us of sin and also at the same time to show us the path that God has laid before mankind for salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." God's Word is powerful to teach us what we must do in order to have our sins forgiven and therefore to be recipients in this life of salvation. But as we think beyond this life, God's Word also then is powerful to lead us, to direct us, to help us to understand what is essential that we might be able to attain eternal life in heaven with our God. The Bible also identifies to us in very clear fashion from this context and even in the broader context, is that prayer stands as our avenue for seeking God's help. We glean an understanding of the path that God has for us in Scripture. But friends, prayer plays a very significant role in who we are as Christians. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us will understand the power of prayer, as well as that we will accept the and to appreciate exactly what it is that God has given us through prayer, and that we will utilize this valuable tool continually in our life, and to realize then in all that God is working not only through His Word, but God continues then to work providentially on our behalf to lead us according to an eternal life in heaven with Him someday. Jesus Christ faithfully works as our source for success. Friends, He worked for our source for success to give us an avenue of redemption at Calvary's cross, and He still continues to work today. How does He do that? The Bible identifies to us in this context and beyond is that He is our example. But not only is He our example, He is our mediator. He stands as our high priest before our Heavenly Father, pleading our case. He is our advocate, the advocate, as is presented from the context of 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and verse 2, identifies a legal term, and therefore He is literally standing in our place on our account, arguing for us on through because of our obedience through the shedding of His blood. Friends, we have such an amazing Savior working constantly for us. Why? Because God wants you and me to be successful in our pursuit to make it to heaven someday. But also, we need to understand that there is a promise that you and I need to understand and to believe in. There is no greater joy in life than being submissive to God. The word submissive, or to submit, literally means to be under. And as we think about what God expects us to do as His children, He wants us to understand His divine authority, that He has always existed, always will, and that if we want to go to heaven, we must place ourselves under Him. And for many people in the world, they look at this as a burden. But you and I know, as we read and study from the Scripture, that His commandments are not burdensome. He tells us that. But friends, you and I, as true Christians, really and truly understand that not only does God tell us that His commandments are not burdensome, His commandments are indeed a joy to our lives. If we follow the commandments of God, placing ourselves under submission to the rule of Jesus Christ, it will make us a better person in life. We will be a more productive citizen in society. It will make us a better person in our homes, and better children, better mothers, and better fathers. But friends, also, it will make us fit for the kingdom of our God. God's people experience this joy, the joy of what it means to be submissive to God here in this world. How do we receive that? We receive that in part because of the sin in our life from the past. It has been forgiven. And knowing that God has forgiven us, and that now we are enjoying a relationship with Him, it brings us great joy to know that we are no longer subject to the guilt and the consequences of sin. So therefore, we have great joy that we experience in this life. But friends, also, as we look beyond this life, faithful Christians will receive joy from God eternally. I can think of no greater joy than to be able to stand in the presence of God as His children, as His faithful children, to hear God say that, yes, we have made mistakes, but that those mistakes, those sins, have been covered in the blood of Christ, conjoined with our obedience to Him. And that He could see that we continually sought to walk faithfully before Him, and to hear Him say, "Enter in, my child, for a deed that is well done." That within itself brings great joy, amen? But the things that God has, even beyond the day of judgment, to spend every moment in the presence of God eternally, that is exciting. To know that we will be with our Creator, that we will be with our Father who loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son for us. Friends, as Christians, you and I can rest upon the promises of God, and therefore we must we must trust in, we must embrace, we must believe the promises of God. Why? Because He is faithful. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 tells us that it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 also tells us this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. You see, God gives us the ins and outs on what Christian living is all about. And friends, He also calls those who are not a Christian to become one of His children. Tonight, if you're here and you're outside of the body of Christ, we hope and pray that maybe something has been said, and maybe we've been able to teach something from God's Word tonight that has developed an interest in you, that you too would desire to have your sins forgiven or remitted in Christ. If you're subject to that invitation, we want to encourage you to respond tonight before it's eternally too late. If we have brothers and sisters here tonight who are erring in any way, we also want to encourage you to return back to the fold before it's eternally too late. Would you please come as